what you've done for us. We know that you're here with us and among us. So come, Holy Spirit, come and be among your people. Remind us of this great sacrifice. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. And so here we are on this Holy Thursday night, evening. And my sermon title today is Remember Our Roots. You know, a root is said to be a part of a plant that attaches it to the ground for support. The root typically goes underground and it conveys water and nourishment to the rest of the plant. And so the root of a plant is a very important part of the plant. Without the root of the plant will die. Without the root being planted deep into the ground and the nutrients coming up, the plant will die. And so I want to propose to you tonight that we have religious roots. It is important for us to remember our religious roots and to look to the past when we need to remember how Christianity was born. It will make us pause and be thankful for the religious freedom we enjoy in a world so torn. It's also good to look to the future with the faith and anticipation of what God is going to do. Psalm 90, 1 and 2 reminds us, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. It is important to remember. It is important to teach our children about their roots, about their heritage, about why we are here and why we are Christians. On last Friday, I invited Celeste to come with me. You know, if I know you a little bit, you have to be careful. I will take you places that you normally don't go. You wonder, and I'll call you up and I'll give you a call, and if you say yes, I will take you. So we went to an interfaith Seder. I don't think Celeste has ever been to an interfaith Seder. Oh, she might have. So we went to an interfaith Seder at the Temple Bethel of Great Neck. And this was an interesting gathering. It was a gathering of Jews. Of course, it was put together by the Jews. This week is Passover. Christians, Muslims, and I believe there was a couple of Hindus, because there was a Hindu priest there who spoke. And at our table, we had Christians. We had a Seventh-day Adventist family. They're Christians, and we're Protestant, and then there were some Muslims at our table sharing that Seder plate. And we began with the Kiddush, the blessing over the wine, because they had wine and grape juice. Now, Celeste is here to attest that I only drank the grape juice. Remember now that today is Holy Thursday. And so there was wine and grape juice, and each time they blessed the wine, because, you know, with a Jewish meal, a Passover meal that Jesus would have had on Passover night, there would be wine. And as they began, it is interesting to think of our connection. And I always wonder, as we go through this period and the period of Passover, how could people not believe that over 2,000 years ago, Christ would walk the earth, and the conversion of these two great religions would come together around a time like this, and it happens every year it has been happening for 2,000 years. And people would not believe. How could that be just by human doing? Right? That here we are celebrating the Passover, the, really ahead of time, because it's really this week. And as they began, they prayed, and the Hebrew was there, and then the English for us, to those of us who spoke English. And they began with a prayer. This says, "We praise God, ruler of everything, who gave us a heritage that endures through the ages, ever changing and ever meaningful." Because to the Jewish people, they were commanded to remember. To remember the Exodus story. To remember that God had brought them out of captivity. To remember. And each Passover they are remembering. And on that Seder plate, there are different pieces that represents different things for them. For example, there is a roasted bone, and there is a hard-boiled egg, and then there's horseradish, the bitter herbs for them to remember, and different pieces of items of food on the Seder plate, and each one reminding them of something. And each time you took one of them, you would then bless it with the wine, and then you would also eat it and share it among yourselves, except for the roasted bone, because it was one piece. And then you would also, there was the matzah, and they began to tell the story. They began to tell the story of how they came out of Egypt. Right? How they came out of captivity. And what God had done for them. And then as after the one person finished telling that story, then they would sing. And they were singing in Hebrew, and I was trying to sing in Hebrew. I think I was just saying things, but I was singing along. As we celebrated with our Jewish brothers and sisters, because our faith is a Judeo-Christian faith. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was Jewish. And so it's important to learn about our faith. And what was so amazing and reminded me is how important it is for the Jewish people to remember. To remember their roots, to remember what it means to be Jewish, what God had done for them. And so tonight, friends, we too should remember. We should remember what Jesus has done for us. We should be telling our children. We should be telling them all the time, reminding them. I think why many of our children have turned away as they grow up, folks turn away from the church, and some of the young people do not remember, because after confirmation, we act as if we close the Bible and we never open it up again. We get them confirmed and then we forget. We no longer remember. But it's important, just like how one has to remember that there's, you have a mother and a father and a grandmother and a great-grandfather and all of that, and where your lineage is, and all of that is important to you. Our faith journey, our religious experience is important for us to remember. Our roots, what connects us to Jesus Christ? Why do we do what we do? Why do we do this thing we call communion, Holy Communion, or the Eucharist? Eucharist means thanksgiving. Why do we do it? What is the reason that we do it? Have you ever explained that to your child, your grown child or your child? Why do we do this? Is this important? And so the Exodus text reminds us that God had commanded the angel of death to pass over those Jewish homes that had the blood of the lamb on the door. When the angel of death saw the blood of the lamb, it would pass over and they would be saved. And so for every Jewish person, they don't want to forget that. So the scripture tells us, which my emphasis will be on the New Testament reading, the epistle reading of 1 Corinthians. But when we read in the Gospel of John, it says, it was just before the Passover festival. So Jesus and the disciples were along with all the people who had come into Jerusalem and around Jerusalem for the Passover festival. You know, our faith is tied into the Jewish faith, because these Jews had come to the Passover festival, and it was just before the Passover festival, and Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. And then he says, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And as the evening meal was in progress, and some writers have said, some theologians have said, this meal that they were having was either the Passover meal. Some other theologians have said maybe it was the meal, the real last meal before the Passover meal. But whatever it was, they had come together to eat this evening meal, and we believe it's the Passover meal. You see, the Passover was one of the annual feasts that all Jewish men, it would say in the Bible, all Jewish men, but men and women would come, but certainly the men, were required to celebrate in Jerusalem. And we know that several things happened there at the meal. We don't really read what we call the Holy Communion liturgy there. We don't see that until the New Testament, until 1 Corinthians. But we know that Jesus is going to do several things. He's going to wash the feet of the disciple to teach them what? Servanthood. He's going to be washing their feet. He's going to take the cloth from around his waist and wash their feet to show them that they should be servants and to show us that we should be servants. That's why we as Christians are called to serve. We are called to serve because Christ served us. Served us unto death on a cross. Right? And so he did that, and afterwards he then commanded them. He says, I'll give you a new commandment, that you love one another. That you love one another as I have loved you. A new commandment. But here we are now, we get to the institution of the Lord's Supper. That's what we are going to be sharing in tonight. The institution of the Lord's Supper. How did that come about? They had shared the meal there. The Gospel of John doesn't break that down for us. But we see Paul. And Apostle Paul is going to say, for I received from the Lord. Now we know that Paul did not speak to Jesus on earth, but he heard it. He says, I received from the Lord what I also handed down to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed. So the night when he was betrayed, the story comes, right? He what did he do? He took bread. The other gospels speak of it, Mark. He took the bread. He took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, really making it a true Eucharist, he gave thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body that is for you. Right? So this liturgy that we do truly comes out of the Bible. It is biblical. It is not even just made out of church tradition. It is something that the Lord has told us to do. So he took it to represent his body. He said, this is my body, which will be given for you. And that would be before his crucifixion. He says, do this in remembrance of me. That each time we do it, when we do it tonight, this evening, we're doing it in remembrance of Jesus Christ, to remember him. Because the Passover was to commemorate a meal. Thus, the Lord's Supper is a memorial supper, recalling and portraying Christ's death for all sinners. And then he says, in the same way he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so we are commanded by the scriptures that we should do this, and as often as we do it, it's not an exercise in futility. It's in remembrance of Jesus Christ. When we come to the table, we must remember that we were commanded to do this. And I read this little reflection on communion shared in a psychiatric ward. You know, the mere sharing of communion can bring healing to our souls. Do you know that? Realizing that Christ did it for us. And the article said, a young friend called me to say she had admitted herself to a psychiatric hospital. While she was there, I visited her when I could. One of my visits was on Good Friday. I asked her if she'd like for me to bring communion to her. She said she would and asked if some of the other hospitalized Christians could join us. On that spring afternoon, five or six of us gathered in her room and we shared the sacred meal. It was the most meaningful communion service I ever shared. Half a dozen strangers, each scarred by heartache, sitting helpless in a locked ward. Yet Jesus was there because we were there as his beloved. He was not only among us, but he was there within us. Even as broken people, we were one with each other. We were strengthened by his presence. We were healed in a way. We were nourished, washed, and rejuvenated, all because we had communion. And so, friends, tonight, when we share in communion, communion has brought hope to those who are shut in. It's easier for us because we're here. But when we go out to serve the shut-in communion, the elderly communion, that is a holy moment. This is a touchstone of holiness, reminding them that Christ is with them because we believe. We believe that each time we share of the bread and drink of the cup, it reminds us that Christ died for us, that Christ shed his blood for us, that Christ gave his body for us, and that it's important to us. It is not something to be taken lightly. It is not just a piece of wafer bread or whatever we have and a cup of juice. Once we pray over it and we bless it, we are reminded, we are asking the Holy Spirit to bless this drink of wine or grape juice and this cup and this bread and make it be for us the body and blood of Christ so we can be the body and blood of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Redeemed. So we could feel renewed and revived. And Jesus knew that his disciples would need that. They would need that last meal. They would need the strength to go forth because Friday and Saturday were not going to be good days for them. And so tonight, friends, when we come, I hope when you come tonight to share in this holy table, in this holy sacrament, that you will take it seriously like we all do, take it in reverence, believe that Jesus is here because he is by his Holy Spirit, and also be reminded that you're doing this in obedience to his request. Isn't that awesome? That we have an opportunity tonight to do it in obedience to his request. As often as we do it in remembrance of him, of the one who died for us. So I pray tonight that this Holy Communion will mean more to you than it's ever meant. When you think of it, there are folks who are on their dying bed and they'll ask you, can you serve them communion? That one moment of feeling close to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So I pray that this holy mystery that we're about to partake, that we truly do not understand, will bless your hearts and bless your souls tonight. On this night, before he gave himself up for us, he took the bread and the cup and gave thanks. And so we bless his name. And we remember him tonight. And somewhere in the world, somebody else another group of believers have already shared in Holy Communion. Another group of believers are sharing that right now and remembering Christ until he returns. Amen.